It's a new year. See if I can do better. Well, good morning and a blessed and joyous new year, God's beautiful people. I hope for you this season, as you have met with family and friends who have come from afar, has been a time to both enrich, well, your bodies and enrich your spirits. And it has been a good and joyous time for me to spend this first Christmas with you also. Well, it is still the Christmas season, and the reading of Scripture is one of those traditional passages we find here in the second Sunday after Christmas Day. And so it comes from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 through to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd you, my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. There ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Speak, Lord, your servant hears, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My friends, I often find it interesting to see how eager we are to put all of our Christmas stuff away. Why do we do that? I think we do that so everything will be back to normal again. Like many of us, though, I find myself saying, I don't want things to get back to normal again. And so on this second Sunday after Christmas, we have the thought in our minds that Christmas is over. There is often the urge and the desire to pack everything up and get it out of the way. But sometimes I think we rush away from it too quickly. We do too good a job at cleaning up after it. And in that, we run the risk of removing it from our lives. What if after Christmas, we could keep life from getting back to normal again? What if we could really hang on to it and take it with us into these good days ahead of us in this new year. Today allows for the beginning of that opportunity. It is the week, this week, Wednesday, January the 6th, that we observe the feast of the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord, the great festival on which Christians, for at least 1,500 years, have celebrated the manifestation, or as it is more literally translated into Greek, the showing forth of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God made flesh. And so, in this season that we await, this week, the season of Epiphany, commemorates many different things. First, the coming of the wise men from the east to worship at the cradle of the infant Christ. Then the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, with a voice from heaven declaring that this Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Then the visit of Jesus at 12 years old to the temple at Jerusalem, where the learned doctors were astonished by his understanding and his answers. And then a series of Jesus' miracles, the changing of water into wine at the marriage feast at Cana, the healing of a leper, the centurion's palsied servant, and the calming of the troubled sea. It doesn't get back to normal again. Certainly not for Christians. Then at the end of the season of Epiphany, we have the prophetic lessons about the final coming of the Son of God in power and great glory. It doesn't go back to normal again. Rather, it is a continuing meditation upon the meaning of the Christmas miracle, the miracle of God with us. God in our flesh, Emmanuel, as Sally prayed this morning, God visible to human eyes, God audible to human ears, God tangible to human touch, God manifest in human life, judging, restoring, and transforming it by the grace of truth, God brings, it doesn't get back to normal, my dear friends. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. One version of the Bible has it, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The miracle of God with us doesn't allow for things to go back to normal, my friends. I am not suggesting that everything is going to be perfect or will always go our way. Nor do I mean we will be able to escape the same routine, the same schedule, the same duties we've had to struggle with before. But I am suggesting that there ought to be something different about us because we have been able to see again a star of wonder. We have been able to hear again the angels sing. Something different about you and me, because we hear again the cry of a babe and have our hearts strangely warmed because God has bent low to the earth again. Boy, amen for that. And so today, I remind us of the story of the visit of the Magi, three wise men from the East, and the Holy Family in Bethlehem, to the Holy Family in Bethlehem, their visit to the Holy Family. These three men, perhaps Chaldean scientists, astronomers, actually we know very little about them, came into Jerusalem looking for a king. They met another king who immediately felt threatened when he found out what they were doing there. He became suspicious of them and of this new king. He began to plot the death of any and all who would claim any kind of royalty. In that darkness of suspicion, the light of hope and devotion was shining. These men came to give their devotion to the new king and would not be turned aside. But listen to this. In our society today, there is still a good bit of suspicion. Suspicion can poison relationships and noble endeavors. Suspicion can poison groups and their goals and their ideals. Human beings are suspicious of each other, aren't we? Some of us are suspicious of law enforcement officers. Some of us are suspicious of the administration of law and order in our country. We in the church are suspicious of one another. We are suspicious of others who are not like us. Some days, my friends, it seems like we are suspicious of everything. But the light of Bethlehem still shines on. Today, amidst the darkness of suspicion, there is the light of hope and devotion. Let me share with you a true story. In fact, you can find this on YouTube. It's a true story, not because it's on YouTube. Let me just be clear about that. It's a story of the act of the light of hope and devotion. A prankster gives a homeless man $100 and secretly follows him. And he follows him because he expects him to go to the liquor store. And he follows him because he expects him to buy cigarettes. And he follows him because he even thinks he would buy drugs. No. This homeless man goes into a grocery store and he buys bread and some soda and some water. And he goes to a park and he starts to give the bread and the soda and the water to every person in the park. He even gives them some of the money left from the $100. This prankster confronted him to apologize to him, saying to him, "I thought you would have actually bought liquor and drugs and cigarettes with the money." But in spite of this homeless man's condition, he offered his gold and frankincense and myrrh to others. We are suspicious of everyone. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is the Son of God who comes to save us? Where is the bread of life for whom our spirits faint? Faith in the light of hope and devotion bids us to find Jesus, as it were, in ordinary places, like a stable, among ordinary people, like a homeless, generous man. Faith bids us find God's word in human words. Faith bids us taste the very life of God in bread and wine, as we will do today. Faith bids us, my friends, to see the Son of God in one another, for heaven's sake, regardless of a person's color, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation, of their economic status. In the least of these, his children, like the ones that same homeless man was giving, offering a loaf of bread. To see and to declare God's glory shining there. It doesn't get back to normal again, my friends. Doesn't get back to normal. Not for Christians. Our human inclination is ever to lust for the spectacular and the novel and the entertaining and the compelling. We look for something new and different, but often superficial. I know I do it. Some gimmick, some new recipe that promises that we will have success, that I would lose weight. But faith, my friends, ever calls us back to work out our relationship with God in the common, everyday life of Christian fellowship, in the discipline routines of worship, hence we come week after week, in prayer and study. Some of us do that week after week. In our works of Christian charity with grace for justice in the world. Several young adults do that. The miracle of God with us doesn't allow for things to go back to normal. The Christian life offers the emotional excitement of the thoughtful and passionate reflections on God's word day by day, week by week, year by year, the nutriment of the sacraments, and the deeds of love and mercy which flow from charity and justice. And so in the normal everyday things of the church's life, the words of Scripture, prayers and sermons, the outward signs of sacraments, the world sees only human words. The world sees only poor and common things. The world sees only halting human speech. Like when we use a bit of water for baptism, the world just sees that. A bits of bread and wine and so on. The world only sees it through human eyes. But faith has eyes to see in all these things the shining forth, the epiphany of the Son of God, the miracle of God with us, Emmanuel. And faith has gifts to offer God. Not much perhaps in worldly terms, but by God's own grace, we have that one best gift, acknowledging Jesus' divinity, Jesus' royalty and his sacrifice, the gift he treasures most, the gift of adoration, and the gift of humble obedience of mind and heart. Surely, my friends, it was a glory visible only to the eyes of faith. Faith to see in a helpless infant who cannot even stutter, the almighty word of God, the very Son of God, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, in all the poverty of a cattle stall, exposed to all the bitter winds of human indifference and disdain. Let it be our prayer. Let it be my prayer and your prayer. Lord, may it never get back to normal again.